Good afternoon, and it's still cold. It still feels like it's morning, but, well, we are just 24 minutes left to the hour of five, and it's home run time. Maybe you did not see that one coming if you are one of those people that still, you know, that's how maybe you're on your leave and you're just chilling at home and you've been in bed the whole day. Yeah, the time is 16:37, aka 23 minutes left to the hour. Yeah, 23 minutes left to the hour of five. And if you just tuned in, it's home run time with Helmut and Dwight. As always, we're here this time until the hour of six. That is a Monday to a Friday. So we are back again. Today is the 9th of June, and we will be, basically, you'll be, that's the duo that you'll be listening to, as you have been. And if you are new, welcome to the family. Today, as always, we bring you yet another topic that is just, intriguing to think about. And, well, worth considering while you are just, while we are in the, you know, we're still grappling with the unemployment discussion that we're having. Now, for those of you that are regular listeners of any of my shows, One in the Morning or the One in the Afternoon, then you must have heard me last week, sort of like either in a serious way or more in a cooking way, talking about, the frustrations that was, taken to the street by education graduates, especially here in Tura. And it is something that actually a lot of resonates all across across all disciplines, not just in Namibia, but just globally. Whether it's just that the lack of implementation that is leading to a lot of unemployment, or the advancement of technology, which is also not helping matters. And today we are going to be talking about something of a similar nature, employment or unemployment related discussion, and that is involving AI, aka artificial intelligence. Someone once said that if you ever wondered why what's the plural for dish, like a satellite dish? Do you say satellite dishes? Because it sounds like you are in the kitchen. Now, satellite dishes that are facing away from Earth in search of intelligent life. Someone once pointed out does that mean that there is no intelligent life below, or why is none of those satellite pointed below? But then again, that would be a waste of a lot of technology. I mean, we all know planet is full of people with good intelligence and some questionable. Now, Dwight, how's the weekend?
Weekend? Dude, I was working over the weekend.
Oh, dear Lord. I'm so glad I wasn't working, because when the weather started changing to a very, long distance relationship, very threatening type of temperatures. And now we are...
You were thinking about one of your memes, ne?
Absolutely.
Where someone's daughter has to be a bit warmer.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Actually, I was thinking about it, and, it's a meme, and also somewhat, to some degree, seriously, more like wishing in that department, not thinking. But, let's talk about, artificial intelligence. And the line of work, or more like professions that it's threatening. Of all the sources that you have shared with me, the word that kept popping up, caught my attention, was white collar.
Yeah.
Okay. I would have thought blue collars were the ones that were under threat.
Not really.
It turns out blue collars are the safe ones.
For now.
Yeah.
Up until the robotics comes along, remember.
Which again, basically more like an, factors into the AI discussion.
Yeah. Because you would have the robotics, but then you don't have the AI to basically command the robot.
Okay, so now we have two main divisions of work. That is blue collar and white collar.
Yeah.
Blue collar usually it's a term used to describe technical type of jobs your plumbers, your electricians,
your welders.
Your welders.
The guys that go into your mining shafts.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of an interesting aspect. So I watched a documentary back in last year where it's a town somewhere in Southern America. Mm-hmm. I can't remember if it's Arizona or if it's New Mexico, but the town is primarily under threat because, that was still under Biden, but a mining joint venture was going to do mining in, it's a mountain just on the backside of, you can literally see it from the town. But the mining company was speaking, jobs will be created and all that kind of stuff. Because obviously there in the US, in places like the US, whatever a private sector company does, the insights from the community is sought. Meaning they go and talk and have
consultations
and town hall meetings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And many of the people in this town were saying, but that is not what's going to happen because the particular kind of method that the mining joint venture, because it's a joint venture between Rio Tinto Global and it was another company, would employ robotics. It's a manner in which you remember shaft, open pit mining.
Oh, yeah.
How we understand it is that, you see the massive open
pit. Just in one giant hole.
Yeah. But in a screw top design.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's how the trucks drive all the way to the bottom.
Yeah.
The discussion from this would have been that in the mining sector, they've already rolled out a kind of robotic, that actually helps with that mining.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an automated mining,
like an open pit or shaft.
It's open pit. It's open pit.
Okay.
It won't be shaft. So it'll be like an open pit, but you're mining a mountain town.
Yeah.
And it'll be like these drones that are just, working 24/7, just extracting and excavating. Exactly. And the one activist from the town complained that the method that they were telling people about, like, for example, when people heard here about in-situ mining.
Oh, yeah.
In the Omaheke region. And in the
underground water,
and people were like, "What? Pollution. What is in situ?" Remember, you and I, we had to go and read all those sources. What is in situ, and all that kind of stuff. Where we ultimately sat with a conclusion after the discussions of last year that the Ministry of Agriculture went and sought. Who went and sought? Is it UNESCO? UNESCO's insight is that UNESCO has to talk to the IAEA, which is another UN agency.
Yeah.
And the IAEA are the guys that signed off on this particular, they approved this kind of mining method because they're the ones who have it on their website.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these particular discussions, these developments are literally what also forms part of our discussion because what puts technical jobs under threat is robotics. But what puts, what you and I
white
studied
collar.
For, what did you and I studied for, Helmut, puts is an AI program.
That's even painful. So
it's a software.
We're being replaced by something we can't even see.
Yeah.
Well, at least
probably on a screen. Yeah.
You can see a robot.
Hmm. Yeah, but you can't see the AI functioning it.
Yeah.
So the white collar discussion. Now, where this all stems from is back in last month, 28 May.
Yeah.
And now I didn't pay attention to all these particular AI platforms. I mean, even the people that I attended a 6-week training course with at the start of this year. If the one tutor said, the South African guy said, no, you have to go and try them all. But, here's what he did, Helmut. He literally went and tried it all, even the paid for functions. Like ChatGPT has a paid for function as well.
Right?
And guess what is that price tag? It's $100.
Oh, huh?
Who's got $2,000 just lying about every month to pay for a subscription with an AI? With a large language model AI, because there's the LLMs, and then you've got the generative AI platforms. The LLMs are all there to learn. The generative ones is the ones that you ask, okay, give me a picture of Elon Musk and Donald Trump, having an arm wrestling match. That's the Gen AI guys. Now, those two particular platforms, obviously you can see They're both AI, but they're two distinct AI functions. And that's where we find ourselves in today's discussion because, I keep forgetting this guy's name. Amodei. Yeah, Amodei.
The Anthropic.
The Anthropic CEO, Amodei. He, back in 28 May last month, dear listeners, so that's 2 weeks back, he went and said in an interview with a platform known as Axios, because I tried finding for the original discussion, but and everyone just keeps quoting this particular platform. And he went and said, and this is his quote-unquote, his direct words. Now, remember, you and I had the AI discussions at the start of the year.
Yeah.
We also did the AI discussion last year, the one about Sam Altman's particular report about the ChatGPT guy, OpenAI's open research study about basic income grant to ultimately support people who can't find jobs anymore because of
not the, because they are not qualified to find the
because
jobs
of the AI.
The AI rollout. Yeah.
So Amodei comes out and literally just sort of like, and some of his words is, don't sugarcoat this. Governments should not sugarcoat it. And they should really understand the particular real world impact that you can see. First and foremost, it will impact a lot of jobs in the next 10 years. They use in the article the term 10 years, decade, which specifically speaks about the havoc, the disruption, the interruption. And you know what's the weirdest thing, Helmut? There were a bunch of people back in 2022 or 2018 that were saying, yeah, the disruption technologies are the way to go. And I was like, hey, until it disrupts your salary, eh?
Look, this is, okay, now, he actually, spoke, I think, around the same time with, with CNN.
Yeah.
In an interview with Anderson Cooper. And one thing that he kept pointing out was it's basically something that we all know, and that is the Anthropic CEO is Dario Amodei.
Yeah.
And one thing he kept pointing out is that, okay, if you just look at the the history of our species, we have been coming up with more like technological breakthrough every once every 1 or 2 centuries. And now these breakthroughs have basically bring about the type of change that we could actually not prevent.
Mm.
Take the transition in warfare, for example, from swords to to a cannonball. Now this is a cannon is not something that is something that was obviously new to a lot of guys. So when they stormed at the battlefield and saw that, well, those guys were not getting close enough, were like, okay, now how are they going to fight?
Mm.
Only to see a bunch of giant boulders hurtling through, hurtling through towards them. They were like, uh-oh, what the heck is this? But, now, obviously you can imagine if you were to take the level of technological communication that we have today to back to that time and ask them, how do they see a wall, the invention of a, of a cannon transforming, warfare, they would have had, as you can imagine, a lot of things to say. But, now, if you can look at if you look at AI, and the nuclear non-proliferation discussion is somewhat the same thing, except, what he points out was that, we have had changes like this before, but the one that we have today, especially with regards to AI, is one very fast and very wide in scope. So, now, interesting enough is that he actually never used, not the part of the interview that I saw. He doesn't say, we'll have to just, stop everything. Because one thing that he just points out is that, let's say here in the US, we decide that, we have to stop developing these large language models.
Mm.
We are not going to, we are not going to take that, that law or those rules to the Russians to make them stop, or the, the Arabs to make them stop, or the Chinese to make them stop. They will just keep building. So the competition is obviously one that you can't get out of. If you get out of, you risk being, being left behind.
Yeah.
So now what then he basically points out something that I think is the most rational thing you can say, that right now if you have that conversation with politicians, it's either they don't understand it or they don't believe you. Now, which makes preparing for the, for the ramification that's most likely going to come out of it, almost impossible. Now, obviously, it's something to prepare for. is not something you can just say, you know what, let's just put a pause and then move on to something new. Nope.
Mm.
The best you can do is both the leadership and the individuals on the ground, like you and I, the best you can do is what is the best way to prepare for it? And in case you missed the first part we pointed out, both blue collar and white collar are under threat. Yeah, both the blue collar and white collar jobs are under threat.
Yeah. The particular downside here is Helmut.
Yeah.
The particular sector that you and I like using, which is gaming.
Yeah.
Many fans are busy pushing back against some of the large gaming companies. And I'm not talking about gaming as gambling. I'm talking about the video game development companies and their publishers. Is that a lot of these guys are planning on using generative AI in the design, packaging, development, as well as also the whole construction of the product.
Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah. Now, take your reaction in consideration in the fact in terms of how many fans out there of their favorite franchises, of their favorite titles, because your favorite platform, Call of Duty, has been using it.
Yeah.
They've been using it. And many people have said, we don't like this thing. They want unique designs. They don't want copy and pasted stuff. And that's what people also don't seem to understand is that with the subscription, the paid for parts of some of these generative AI platforms is literally a scenario of you can pay for your unique design. It's your unique design.
Just yours.
Yeah. The weird thing is if you continue using the free thing, the AI platform can take what you are just generating through it and use it for itself.
So in other words, in one way or another, you're paying for it.
Yeah. So, and in one another way, particularly, the AI will steal intellectual property.
Yeah.
Whether or not you can claim it, the notion in terms of the mere fact that you're using an AI platform to input things and on the free account that you've got allows that platform to say, okay, so Dwight was busy feeding me with this new knowledge. This is new knowledge. And they take it. Poof. There you go. They run wild with it. Now that's just on the internet entertainment side of things.
Yeah.
Another court case is also kicked off. I think back in, not that I think, I know that it is kicked off, but actually when it started, is between October last year up until now. So two voice actors. So they've got this nice sector in the United States. Two voice actors, a man and a woman, responded to sort of like, ads, you know, record something or send us voice notes of your voice and then stuff like that, but without payment because they thought, you know what, they were just asked by anonymous numbers, you know, we're reaching out to you as for possible employment. We just want you to send us a voice note of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That was literally, quote unquote, what the sentence said. Literally, Helmut. And the people made voice notes because they thought this is a potential new job, right?
Yeah.
Sent the voice notes through. Just for the guy, like 6 months later, to hear his own voice in a radio ad while sitting in a taxi. And he was like,
I didn't remember doing that.
And he said, I don't remember getting paid for this job. When they went and go and inquired specifically, and they literally had to, it's like a bunch of these voice actors. They have to work through a specific, legal representative.
Yeah.
This legal representative is, you know what some lawyers do is in the US they do this. I don't know if they do this in Namibia. But some lawyers actually, when they have class action suits to follow up with the thing, they look for as much evidence as possible. So they do like a public call asking people, please come to us. Let's hear your testimony. Let's see how you were impacted. And then they gather all that data. That's like raw data gathering. And then they go and start with the legal process. Now, I don't know if that has ever happened in Namibia, which I doubt has ever happened. Hardly doubt has ever happened. But on that specific scenario, this is where these two voice actors found themselves. Because the company, technically, is a was one of these startup technology companies, and they were trying to position themselves to provide services to the entertainment sector. And one of the services obviously has been about how do you not have to pay for actors? How do you not have to pay?
Basically, it's about cutting costs.
Yeah. How do you not have to pay for musicians? How do you not have to pay for?
But you are using their voices and their works basically in terms of musicians.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, the evidence of the theft of intellectual property, like Noam Chomsky highlighted itself, because I understood what Noam Chomsky was talking about. The evidence of theft is overwhelmingly against the AI platforms. Helmut, many people don't know that all the universities, most of the universities in the world, are technically like open source resource platforms. Meaning, you can go onto the Harvard website from Namibia,
yeah,
and you can read information and data and yeah, knowledge.
Yeah.
You can go on to London School of Economics and do
I've
the
done
same.
That like 1,000 times.
You can go on to Oxford and Cambridge. You can read the level of information they've got that side. Because for you now, obviously, to try and do that here with NASDAQ, UNAM, you don't even know if you'll be able to get that far. I mean, even the one resource that I got in preparation last year for that open AI discussion we had about the basic income grant study that they did, I my intent was to find the website of Sam Altman's website, the open research platform, and then I ended up somewhere else where I got like a treasure trove of reading material. I was like, what is this thing? This thing is a, this is a super library. And I mean, it connects you with so many other resources, Helmut.
Yeah.
There's nothing I've seen ever like it. I don't need Google Scholar because I found everything on one website. But that's just the thing. Do people know even about these digital resources?
Yeah.
So, what the AIs do is they actually do the same thing that you're thinking about. They go and scour all those websites. With all its archives, with all its documentary, document-based archival documents or archive documents. They scan it all, Helmut. And then what do? The AI just sits there learning the whole time. And then if you punch in something, feed in a command or something,
yeah,
the AI can bring it up because it is already,
they just retrieve it because
it is already read through or processed through all that particular resources that it was running off. And the thing is, if you're thinking that the AI sleeps, no, it doesn't. The thing is allowed to process. Now, processing is literally it going and reading data sets.
And then bringing a response.
And bringing you responses. And then, obviously, there's the big question of AI hallucinations. Helmut. My niece is staying with us and she's telling us how her classmates think AI must do the work for them.
That's not surprising.
And then the AI lies there. Now, here's the thing.
In a very creative way.
She studies law. She studies law. So the other classmates are also law students. These other classmates.
How do you even use AI on that?
These other classmates don't realize that how law works is that the books that exist are of court cases that have happened.
Yeah.
In some cases, the internet resources do not exist for the reference material that you want to use. And you've got to take out a physical book or you've got to read something or there must be a scanned PDF or PDF of something of this resource.
Which is why we have physical archives.
Yeah. So many of these, and this is your children. Guys, if you are like me, a millennial, I don't have kids. Don't worry. They're your kids that are on university now. Literally go and tell ChatGPT, answer my assignment for me. That's how they put that's how they feed it in. And then they say, this is the court case I want you to analyze.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go read the manuscript, there's nothing in, well, that's according to my niece's testimony.
Okay, but you're supposed to verify it even if you did that.
But that just shows you that the kids have no AI training. The kids have no AI training, and then they were told about AI, and then they play around with the thing. But they're not me. They're not you, Helmut, where we've been discussing about this particular subject matter, where we've highlighted verification, fact-checking, ensuring that your data and information is on par and on point. I cannot share any more than what I'm saying right now.
You know what?
Because someone's parent might just find out that their kid scored less than 10% on assignments at UNUM. Yeah. Just to let you guys know. So the kids out there, they're already using AI, but the thing is they're using it so incorrectly. So grossly incorrectly that you're even wondering, should this person be allowed to even finish their degree? Because they're even using the resource wrong.
Actually, that's the reason why I'm eating healthy, because some of these guys that are graduating with ChatGPT doctors, I am. Now, see, I don't want to be operated by someone that asked ChatGPT, how do I diagnose a hernia? Now, okay, the thing is, back in October, yeah, that's in now, because I mean, I came across this last year. Back in October, Google produced one of their, instruction manual on how to operate their, that's how embarrassing the whole thing looked like. Instruction manual on how to operate their large language module, because Google has Gemini.
Yeah.
And the,
Google actually has two.
But this one was only produced on Gemini.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can bet, they are similar in a lot of ways. And yeah. The Anthropic guy have Claude or something.
Yeah, it's Claude and
they're running multiple DLOT. Now, the thing is, it's one of those, it's one of those things that we sort of like start using something without reading the user manual.
Mm.
That's the exact same thing you see having, you'll find going on between a lot of university students and a lot of, large language, AI models. And that's because a lot of us don't go through the instruction manual on how to use it and what are the limitations of this tool.
Yeah.
We just assume, it's a holy grail that is going to solve all my problem. I mean, I can just feed in the question, let it generate everything, then I can go and partay. That's a very after spending a lot of time in high school under parents' restriction, university is every child's dream. So, no one wants to do it. I didn't want to do my assignments. Look, the point is, you just want to party and party and party. And for those of us that don't know how to party, you just want to game and game and game. So it's the same WhatsApp group. It all leads to, well, less studying and then obviously failure after that.
Mm.
So for those of, professors and lectures at high institutions, it will be on a daily basis as technology advances and as AI modules become better and better at what they do, the more difficult it's going to be to tell what I did as a student and what I, what is AI generated. But then again, one way that's been picked up by a lot of high institution, lecturers and lectures and professors, especially in the US, like one guy pointed out was that, some of these things are very obvious because when you see that, someone that could barely spell cup can now spell anthropomorphosis, anthropology, then you're like, okay, something. Like overnight. Yeah. Yesterday you couldn't spell cup. And today you can spell flamboyant. Everyone will be like,
And they even write flamboyant the old English way. B-U-O.
You see the problem? Because every lecture
not
like,
the B-O-Y. B-U-O-Y.
Since when do you become this smart overnight?
But there's actually a good example that exists from that.
Yeah.
I mean, the article I wrote back in last month that was based upon the AI in newsrooms discussion in Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
where at some print houses here in Namibia, the sub editors realize when a journalist has used an AI.
So it's everywhere. Please, if you're into trouble, you may want to find out what your lawyer is doing.
Yeah, because they realize that the person writes the... Now, apparently in the defense, the one editor said, no, the person says they write the article first, then they take the article, then they throw it in an AI platform.
More like a... More
to help
like
them
a,
with word editing, technically, and with sentence structure, syntax. Yeah. But then a lot of the... So a lot of the sub editors that were there said, yeah, it's a whole bunch of other things as well. Because just like we keep talking about the hallucination that AI goes through where it makes up facts and it makes up things.
Yeah.
Those sub editors said the same thing. Apparently, one of our presidents did something in a different time zone.
That's a different, very easy and you were like, get into trouble.
Did this person read their article?
That's a very easy way to get into trouble.
No, it is, because it really shows that the person didn't put in the effort. When the moment the person uses a ChatGPT or uses any of the other AI platforms to speed up the task. Look, Helmut, there's nothing wrong with using it.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you still
verify and it's
fact-check your work. And all it takes is a 20-minute, if you know that the, like in our case,
mm-hmm.
which is in media. Let's say we're writing now, we've got to write the script.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our script writing is based upon our resources.
Yeah.
Meaning it can be a video, it can be an audio, it can be
an article,
and it can be even a, what's the thing's name? Other literature resources, which could be longer formats.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things form the basis for our discussions.
Look, but every AI model or platform that I have used, just after generating whatever you are feeding in there, most of them that I've used indicates at the end that this is AI generated. Please verify important facts.
Yeah,
You can copy and paste, and that would be perfectly fine. Until you realize that the teacher would be like, when did Mussolini visit Namibia again?
Well, here's one of the worst things also. So the same guy, Dario Amodei from Anthropic, the latest version of Claude,
mm-hmm.
Claude 4,
Flo.
Four.
Four.
Claude 4.
Claude 4. That's a good one.
Of his company's AI projects is now on the level of being able to basically commit extreme blackmail behavior. If you give it access to emails, to an email server. Now, obviously you guys can see what happens here. You don't know if you're dealing with a real person or not. That can be, that can decide to be have a very bullying mentality. You don't know if you're talking to a real person or not.
The most scary part of that is this is all happening on the surface. Now, imagine, just try to imagine what type of chaos is going on the dark web.
Mm.
Yeah, because... I came across one video on video of one lady on TikTok that pointed that out. That for those of you that think they say AI is causing chaos on the surface web, you ain't seen the dark web. Because blackmail scams are basically everything that was done, all the nefarious activities that were done by someone who was experienced in programming, or more like who knew the computers, like technical know-how to do it. Today, it's all carried out by AI.
Mm.
They say, the very same way that you have, more like browsers that enables you to access the dark web, and that will also enables you to access the surface. They are also, and by the way, I just found out that, Facebook has a dark web version of Facebook. But I'm like, really? Why? But anyway, one thing that you see is that, everything that's taking place on the surface, obviously something like, even more nefarious is taking place on the dark web. So that, but I think this is where the, more like stealing of identities now comes in. And this is where I like now to sing one of those very old time, old time old song that, the banks would have to be, it would be very easy for the bank to call you and find out whatever problem, they want to solve. Take, for example, by getting your bank account and PIN for them to figure out to solve the problem they're having with your bank account. They could do that, but then it has become very dangerous for them to do that. It's not very safe because how sure are they that they are talking to the real you, the owner of the account, which is why for something that is as sensitive as for example, that is suspicious activities going on with your bank account, they just call you to the office, just show up to the front office and they will help you with that. But now when it comes to stealing information and modifying it, this is something that actually has been going on for a while, especially even for established institutions.
Yeah.
I had no idea that Jet Li was supposed to be like one of the big guys in the Matrix Revolution when it came out. The problem is, I don't know how, but according to him, he found out that, the guys that were basically, the big guys that were involved in the whole the Matrix Revolution movie, what their goal was to basically take his kung fu moves and then more like digitize them and then claim. Claim the copyright, what's this word that I'm forgetting? Use it in the next, productions, maybe probably with even different, actors.
Yeah.
Without Jet Li's permission. Now, after he found out that, he just decided, according to him, to turn down the whole role. So, one thing that you see here is that, by the way, if you did not know, yes, Jet Li can do a lot of things that he's doing on TV, minus walking on grass, of course, that's impossible. But one thing that he had to point it out. But look, one thing that you see here is, we can disagree with Dario Amadei on a lot of things, but one thing we can all agree with him on is that AI is growing faster than we can keep up. And because of that, and it's not growing, it's basically being developed by the first guys to be, that AI is threatening to replace. I know. And now, because of that, AI, combine it with robotics, is coming for both job divisions, whether it's blue collar or white collar. In other words, whether you are a plumber or electrician somewhere, or you are just sitting in your corner office somewhere, enjoying the view, well, enjoy it while it lasts. So, how to prepare for it, both on a personal level, like skill-wise, and then line of work-wise, and also as a student, when you're taking, like, what field of study do I want to study? Do I want to take, and what's the future of that line of work? We both have to basically prepare. We're more like, brace yourselves. I'm told that if you hear a pilot saying, brace yourselves, it's not good.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
And we even get to one of the pilots, Mark Zuckerberg himself, even from Meta. Who highlighted on a podcast that at the start of this year in January, that probably certain particular roles, for example, like in the IT sphere. And this is also where you got to ask the question, would university be necessary? Would tertiary education be necessary? at the start of this year, Meta announced 5% workforce reduction. Meaning they were retrenching people of 5%, in terms of total percentage from the company. And these were all highly educated people, highly skilled people, who obviously had been working for a long time in the IT sector, meaning specifically in the software engineering sector and software development sector. Now they're going to be made redundant with their skill sets, Helmut, that they went to a university to go study for. Because now the AI does everything.
Do you have any idea what we are doing here?
Now, here's the worst part. He made reference, that's now Zuckerberg, he made reference to that particular discussion on a Joe Rogan podcast. And then in the same month, later in that month, they announced a 5% reduction in workforce. Imagine being that person hearing that. On a Joe Rogan podcast, Nohal. Even worse.
And then you're losing your job. Yeah. You know.
So.
Talk about unsubscribing faster than lightning. But Joe Rogan didn't have anything to do with it. So just, you know.
Yeah, he didn't have anything to do with it. Yeah. But the discussion itself is that, what's his name? Amodei is also saying specifically countries like the American government, he's primarily talking about just the American government in that scenario. But even like in our case, I mean, back in last week, Helmut, our Minister of Health went and announced that she wants to see AI-powered ambulances.
The driver was like, come again.
AI-powered ambulances. Do you know, firstly, let's not worry about the investment into the infrastructure to make that thing run. We've got to talk about the knock-on effect of response times. Now, remember, it's the same minister that also stood up in the parliament in the motivation of her budget, the Ministry of Health's budget. Minister Luvindao stood up and she said, you know what, this is about the e-governance or the platform that she referenced. But she used the term e-governance to speed up e-governance rollout in her ministry. That specifically, it's about helping the services to be connected to people, because we also have to face this, Helmut. We don't know how many sick people there are in the country.
Nope.
We don't. And a database specifically allowing the public service sector to adequately respond to something, because people would be asking real questions in terms of, why are we paying tax for a facility where I have to go sit longer in a line? And if you've got someone like a Dwight who says, I will be glad to pay the $700 to not wait in a line. Even if it's my last 700, even if I don't have the 700, I'd gladly sit in that, I'd gladly pay that 700 to be helped quicker, to alleviate the pain. Because in medicine, or in the medical sphere, or in the health sector, you are literally going through pain in many cases for your ailments.
Yep.
To alleviate the pain. Then rather sit in pain. Be told we will only take 10 people per day. And those 10, and we will only help in that 10 people. We also first help the very young and vulnerable and the very old and vulnerable, meaning babies, expectant mothers who are pregnant, and senior citizens. And if you're like Dwight, who realized when he counted in that line, I was like, but there are 10 of these people.
So that means,
I have to come back again tomorrow with the same pain. No, Helmut, that is not the way you run a service.
Look, you remember, what's this, you remember, let me take you to one of my favorite characters from the Avengers Age of Ultron. The Ultron guy. Ultron was built by Tony Stark to protect mankind and the planet from all threats. That's the good thing about technology.
Yeah.
All threats.
And what is Ultron? What was Ultron's conclusion?
Just a couple of minutes on the internet, Ultron discovered that the biggest threat to mankind is men. And I was like, well, eliminate all threats.
Yeah. But I mean, even if you look at the things. So I mentioned Meta, ne?
Yeah.
Microsoft announced. Microsoft had said that they will lay off 6,000 workers, which is about 3% of their overall staff contingent. 6,000 workers. You've got to ask yourself, how big is Microsoft?
Yeah.
If 6,000 is just 3%. Many of these 6,000 are engineers, the software engineers. Walmart, the world's largest retailer, is cutting 1,500 corporate jobs. That's where the white collar comes in.
Yeah.
But the 6,000 IT guys are also white collar. Remember that. As part of simplifying its operations in anticipation of big shifts ahead. CrowdStrike, which is a cybersecurity company in the US. Aren't they the guys that caused the
chaos at airports?
Yeah. Global. With the incompatibility between their update and the Windows update that went through. They were going to slash 500 jobs, which is about 5% of their workforce, citing a market and technology inflection point with AI reshaping shaping every industry. The chief economic opportunity officer at LinkedIn, another Microsoft company, highlighted in a New York Times opinion piece.
Seriously?
This is the worst thing. He puts that opinion piece in the New York Times, doesn't put it on LinkedIn, maybe not, saying that, and this is in the month of May, that AI is breaking the bottom rungs of the career ladder. Junior software developers, junior paralegals, and first-year law firm associates who once cut their teeth on document review, and that young retail associates who are being supplanted by chatbots and other automated customer service tools. Now, what that sentence actually says there is if your kid is now on university, dear listeners, studying a specific industry, that kid won't have you can forget about an internship.
You are going to make a lot of parents to use their kids' college fund to go on holiday. But, look.
And then kick them out of the house.
Yeah, kick them out of the, you know what, this is on AI, not me. But, one thing that we also have to realize here is, let's look at it, this from a different example of one of the more like, less discussed, more like, consequences of this whole rise in AI and the subsequent, jobs takeover. And that is, every time that a government is overthrown with an established army, well-trained, well-armed, forces, what happens to those, trigger happy guys? That's how terrorism is fueled.
Yeah.
Now, because you have a lot of people now that have spent a long time, that have invested a lot of money and time into gaining the military skills they have, and now they have no proper authority to help them apply those skills. What happens is the rise of militias. Now, picture one. On the internet, because that's where we are headed. If you fire 6,000, maybe 3,000 of them are engineers, software engineers, and they don't have jobs. And then a bunch of guys with evil intents out there, out of desperation, for them and out of obviously exploiting the opportunity for the evil guys to build them some nefarious softwares, they will obviously take the job. Now, what we are doing here is, this is a brewing storm. This is a brewing storm in terms of skills wise. Obviously a lot of companies are not going to retain redundant workers. As long as there is a piece of software that does the same job, helmet is going to have to go.
Mm.
Yeah, that makes a lot of business sense. But the thing is, if that someone is a software engineer, we are basically telling the smartest people we have in our society that, well, we don't need them anymore. Well, to be fair, they shot themselves in the foot by developing the technology in the first place. Also, hats off to guys that funded them to develop the technology. But, what you have is, thanks to you guys with coding skills, we are now all screwed. Both those of us who, those of us, that was a nice one. Those of you with technical skills, and those with more like, academic point of view or more like academic type lines of work. We are all into trouble. So the best approach to this is how do we prepare for it? Because it's going to be an Armageddon. Now, one reason why I agree with the Madei guy, especially when the way that he directed that response, more like that answer towards governments, is because you can expect a lot of social chaos. When a lot of people don't have jobs, they don't have food. If they don't have food, they are desperate. Mm. When they are desperate, forget about order.
How about, do you know, when you've got deja vu sometimes, and you remember back to discussions that you had with people. So, I voiced my concern about not liking AI back in last year to one of my siblings. And this specific sibling told me, no, Dwight, it's about improving tasks and stuff like that. And I remember it's the time that we had the discussion about who will buy the products of these billion-dollar products around the world. Who will use them if you don't have a salary? Which was also basically the same conversation we had that was partnered with the Sam Altman research paper about basic income grants. Because it's from that discussion also where Altman realized, oh my goodness, if his platform pushes people out of work and makes and closes off certain jobs. Remember, certain jobs are closed off to you, the future generations, because there's now a program or a robot or a piece of software that's now busy doing the task. So that means you can never apply as a human into that role. Now, remember that question that we asked.
Who's going to consume the products?
Who's going to consume the products
that
many of these particular companies are making based upon that these companies are obviously, developing these AI platforms?
How much does an engineer make?
The software
engineer. Software engineer.
How much those guys pay $5,000 to $6,000 to $7,000 a month? So we're talking about, in Namibian terms, that's 140 grand.
So you are getting rid of take 2,000-3,000 of them.
Let's make it 6,000 because
because
Microsoft is laying off 6,000 people. Many of them are of the engineering type.
So now you have you are basically putting 6,000. These are people that are obviously working for you, and then getting some source of income, and to support their families, they send their kids to school, they buy groceries for their family. They are beneficial in a lot of ways to a lot of grocery stores, and then you have your textile stores, basically everything that they buy, every time that they service their car, every time that they need a new, a new computer, they are affording this because of the money you are giving them in exchange of the labor they're giving you. Now, picture, 6,000 of that type of economic benefit that is happening in that environment where a lot of them reside is just gone overnight. All of a sudden, they can't afford to pay for their house. So the mortgage out through the window. And now they cannot afford to service their car. A lot of them obviously will have to, opt to sell it. And a lot of them cannot afford to live in certain neighborhoods because, there has been a reduction in their income. They will have to find someplace affordable. They will have to downscale a lot of their, a lot of their economic decisions. That is obviously going to have, like you like to point out, a knock-on effect on the overall economy. This is a serious shot in the foot.
No, it is. It really is, Hamad, because there's another story that I also read about.
And oh, by the way, they are paying tax.
Oh, yes. Or they're trying their best not to pay tax, supposedly. So...
The guys that are trying their best not to pay tax are the employers. Employees are paying.
Yeah, the employees are paying. Which is also another particular question in terms of what are governments doing to protect their tax bases?
I don't think they're thinking this through.
No, they're not. Because even Amodei, Dario, says lawmakers in the US have no clue of what's going to happen in the next year.
Did you watch the interview I don't know if to call that an interview of the CEO of TikTok in Congress.
Oh, last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are your lawmakers that were asking the guy, does TikTok connect to my Wi-Fi? Now, those are the people you want to understand artificial intelligence. Are you kidding me?
Look, some of them are clever.
Yeah, some are.
Some. But... And when you come to Namibia, you're like,
Well,
I mean, even last year, the example in South Africa, but the two Stellenbosch students who discovered they are computer science first year students. Now they try to apply for it's an unconditional grant, unconditional basic income grant that you get in South Africa. It's like a $500 million that you get. Yeah? Now you can apply online by just using your ID. Mm-hmm. And then see if you are of age, and then it kicks, and then it approves you
instantly. You are eligible for it.
Yeah, and it instantaneously approves you, and it's mostly there for students to help with like things like paying for your cab, having like lunch money, or just extra money for you to be able to do certain things to help you with your academic day-to-day life. Mm-hmm. These two boys tried to apply for this thing, realized that their ID numbers were stolen by someone. Yeah. Yeah.
And they were benefiting from it?
These other people.
Uh-huh. The ones that stole their identities. Yeah.
And then the one of the two students decided, you know what? Let me go and try. Let me go talk to other students on the campus. And they tried, they literally did like a hard test. You know, walking to every student and ask them, please log on, see if you qualify for this thing, and let's see what happens. And most of the students that they bumped into and they asked this question, actually, the guy said all of them, was that literally all of their identities were stolen.
Were being used by someone.
And that this person has been earning this money already for a year. Even before these kids got into university as first year students last year. Okay. Now at the same space when that revelation came out in South Africa, these two students had to appear before a standing committee of South Africa's parliament there in the Western Cape, because the parliament is in Cape Town. The presidential palace is in Pretoria. They go sit in front of the standing committee. Is it not for the ANC members of the standing committee to now grill these two boys? Yeah, who gave you the authority to do what? But these guys said,
I'm just telling you, there's a flaw.
No, someone is busy committing a crime. They stole. Yeah, they're literally siphoning off money, which they're not supposed to do.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, we saw almost the developments that happened last year with that minister, the new minister of works in South Africa, when the moment in his first week, he did a quick audit and they discovered that 300 million had just got
gone
between a specific time of year. The money is unaccounted for. No one knows where the money went. But 300 million just went into the air. So, now, the moment you realize certain particular things, because remember, South Africa has a higher level of e-governance than Namibia. Mm-hmm. And these two boys, these two teenagers, these first year students, just by doing a basic assessment, realized that someone had committed identity theft.
More like some dozen.
And it was like a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
Now, ask yourself the question, Hamoud. You obviously see how important cybersecurity plays a role in all of this as well, because this then also means that if an AI, like I explained a little bit earlier, if an AI is allowed to run wild in an inbox, in an email inbox, and you've got an MP on the ground that doesn't understand the ramifications of what literally just happened, in a world that they cannot see, because this isn't a digital world, but you can't see it, how then do you expect this MP to be your champion in lawmaking, in regulation, in all that? How then?
Politics is about to get a whole lot difficult.
I mean, Helmut, even in the United States, that thing of the big budget, the big beautiful budget of Trump, many of his fellow party members, the fellow senators and states and senators and congress people, they didn't read through the whole bill. Well, the bill was apparently more than 2,000 pages thick to read through. That's when AI helps you. You take the PDF, you throw it in there and say, okay, summarize every section of it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Not for you. Do not go say, ah, it's 2,000 pages. I don't have the patience for this
thing. I'll just sign.
I'll just sign it up and say yes. So, the discussion also here is, first and foremost, do people read? Do they understand what they've got to do? And secondly, do they realize what's going to happen? Because you also have to ask the question, will studying, going for paying for that 3-year, how much, yes, even with the wonderful news of here in Namibia, university will be free next year. Ask yourself the question, will it be worth it?
Okay.
Will it be worth it?
You know what? Let's take a break and we'll continue on the other side. If you're just tuned in, you're listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. The time is 23 minutes left to the hour of 6. Please do stay tuned after the break.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? Even a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. The time is 22 minutes left to the hour of 6. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. And we are, our discussion for today is one scary one because it has to do with change, but then change overall is just scary, even though this one is very financially scary. So, it involves, the infrastructure, assuming we can even, run it, is requires a significant investment, and that is something that is not going to happen like overnight, especially in a lot of the developing world, but it's going to happen faster than the industrial revolution took to reach us.
Mm.
Yeah, and that is for a while the discussion that we're having is these jobs are going to be impacted, maybe these ones are safe. At this point, it's kind of difficult to sort of like tell definitively which ones are safe and which ones are not. And one thing that keeps being pointed out is that are both blue collar, aka those ones that requires technical skills like plumbing and electrician, and those ones that are your stroll here and your fancy office job are also maybe in the crossfire of AI with regards to replacement. Now,
yeah.
Question again: this all comes down to one thing. You can't stop AI from advancing because of one, competition, and obviously, you'd be stopping, maybe a positive thing. Now, at this point, the question that just keep coming, I think that would scare me if I was in leadership position, and I'm talking about nationwide, so, all the way, on an AU level, EU level, to straight up the United Nations, is how do we prepare for it?
And that's the weird thing, Helmut.
That's the million-dollar question.
No one is talking about how do you prepare for it. Because does preparation mean, must you not go and study another 3 years?
Of what course is the question?
Exactly. Must you now go and reskill yourself? Where? Must you now go and have other skill sets? Look, Helmut, I'm all for a basic, universal basic income grant. As long as it meets my monthly needs.
Dwight, thank you for bringing that up. Because now that takes me back to the point you made earlier that are governments considering how AI is potentially, well, at this point, is is slowly threatening their tax basis.
Yeah.
Because a tax is every government's more like a main source of revenue. If you threaten that, you basically, you are kicking the economy in the jingles. Now, it's not going to end well.
You should have said family jewels.
I know.
Jimbles.
I had to make it Christmassy. But look, the thing is, like you pointed out, on average, a software engineer, for example, is going to make what, like somewhere $90,000 to $100,000 a month,
yeah,
at least here in Namibia. Now, if you take that and then multiply it by how many people that will be losing their job, take for example in case of the US, 3,000 to 6,000 of them, you have to sort of like what I expected these guys to do was to do an analysis of how much of tax revenue is the government losing from these guys that are going to lose their job, but for some reason we just look at how many people are losing employment. But, not the cascading economic, more like a financial problem, obviously boils down to economic, that the government is going to incur. And how many schools will now lose on the revenue? Mm. And how many, cars will have to be sold? And more like, just overall, what is the possible, how much do these guys contribute to the economy? And what is the dent that this going to put on the on that said contribution?
And that's when no one is measuring this.
No one is saying, okay, you know what?
Maybe they want to see Terminator style things,
Oh dear Lord.
Mass replacement of the workforce. And then we see what the government earns in terms of tax revenue. Do they want to see that? Because
here's, we're going to be taxing robots.
No, but that's the discussion that Dario says,
yeah,
no one is having around the world. You don't know how much you're losing in tax revenue, because for who is the government going to be rolling out services for? Even in a Namibian context,
right? Huh? These guys that are building these AI models are known for one thing:
yeah,
tax evasion.
Of course,
yeah. Rely on them to pay tax. That's for sure.
Exactly, but that's literally what he's saying. Because he was interviewed by Axios, where he literally went after, here's the worst thing, after launching the next level of Claude 4.
Then he went to complain, you know what?
And then he went and said, you know what?
We just launched a new one. It works, by the way.
Yeah. It looks wonderful, by the way.
Yeah.
But there's a huge tsunami coming in the labor market. He went and did the same thing that Altman did, establishing an economic council. Economic Research Council. All of them are these doctors. Man, I was reading through each one's profile just before coming in. Well, actually still reading, because two more were added at the end of May.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, so you're now planning to establish this thing, but you know your society has a lot of data. The United States generates a lot of data.
Yeah.
But come to a place like Namibia, where we don't even know how many sick people there are. We don't. We can't even properly count or detail how many instances of GBV take place, because the data sets are all outdated. Even the malnutrition data sets were outdated. Remember when we did that malnutrition last year?
Mm-hmm.
They were basing it off 2023 statistics and 2022 statistics. Now in between, people had gone hungrier and people had died. How do you justify such record keeping of data? But that's also another particular thing, Helmut. In a Namibian context, you and I, we can see how data can improve certain things.
This whole thing becomes very darker, like really fast.
No, it becomes very dark, because you ask yourself the question. And that's what many people in policy making are now also calling for, specifically from the civil society part of the Namibian landscape.
Mm-hmm.
They want data. They want policy making based upon sound data.
Not we
put a manifesto in ChatGPT. Not we
we are making up things just to sound rosy, but we don't know what economic planning is. But you've got economists in your parties. Not we want to sound, you know, as, what's that word, man? What's that word? Not that we, you know, we want to have the buzzwords of the day and enjoy the buzz. No. Go and read. Do the hard work. Read. Go and look at data sets. Go and understand things. Go and talk to people on the ground.
Oh, dear God. This is why I like what we do. One, you begin to have an epiphany, institutions that are, you know, building these AI programs. A lot of these guys are, these are multi billionaire multinational conglomerates.
Mm.
These guys are operating across the planet.
Mm.
Now, let's say, these multinational companies are known to be very good at paying tax, which they are very terrible at.
Mm.
How many countries would Microsoft have to pay tax to?
The whole world.
Exactly.
If the whole world was clever.
How long would they stay in business?
If Namibia was clever, if Namibia was clever, and that institution that we call supposedly a anti-competitive institution.
Yeah, dear.
That institution. If that institution was clever, that institution should have been at the forefront of our cybersecurity law development, not Ministry of Information. That institution should also have been at the forefront of our consumer protection legislation development, not leaving it to a directorate in a ministry that doesn't exist anymore. You and I are now asking, back in last, 2 weeks back, we were even spitballing because we were coin tossing between heads and tails. Do we think the directorate went with international relations,
mm-hmm.
or do we think it went to mines and energy? Because Mines and Energy doesn't care. You can clearly see Mines and Energy doesn't care about consumer protection. They've never known what consumer protection is. How do you put industrialization next to the one act that is literally against nature conservation and what's the thing's name? Sound environmental management.
Mm-hmm.
Mining has never been. Mining and energy have never been good buddies with environmental management.
No.
And safe environmental.
I mean, oil spills, mining, well,
radiation.
Radiation.
Nuclear bomb drops. They've never been the best of buddies.
Now, also take that in. And, picture a scenario where everyone who's, who's in the crossfire of AI is a replacement in terms of jobs.
Mm.
Both blue collar and white collar are replaced. And you have, this also spills into the discussion of national sovereignty.
Yeah.
Because if every employee in Namibia is replaced by some AI or some robot that's made by either Bill Gates or Mark Zuckerberg,
mm.
then the president's authorities can really be questioned, and also this independence of your entire country, who is running it? Because it's entirely based, more like it's heavily dependent on the guy that's running your economy.
Mm.
Now, that again is another discussion that reduce dictatorship, but commercial break.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Vintook Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Vintook Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Vintook Beer, and you could win. Vintook, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
So, you've got everything sorted for tomorrow?
Yeah, man. Meat spice, poikis ready. Even got some playlists lined up, bro.
And the crew? They're all coming, right?
Awe, everyone's in. It's gonna be lekker.
Wait. What about the tassies?
Bruh, you can't eat it without Dasam. It's like cabana without salsa, dog. Dasam, best together. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Welcome back. But before we continue, let's take a look.
Velvice University. This is the Velvice University September intake for 2025. All programs are fully accredited by NQA. Certificate in Health Sciences Foundation Level 4. This is a one-year full-time course available at all campuses. Certificate for Enrolled Nurse, Midwife or Accoucheur Level 6. This is a two-year course full-time available in Windhoek, Nkurunkuru, Kombat, Walvis Bay, Katimamulilu and Otapi. Diploma in Environmental Health Sciences Level 6. This is a two-year full-time course available in Windhoek. Bachelor of Nursing and Midwifery Science Honours. This is a four-year full-time course available in Windhoek and Kurunkuru, Kombat, Walvis Bay and Katimamulilu. Postgraduate Diploma in Mental Health Nursing Level 8. This is a one-year full-time course available in Windhoek. Postgraduate Diploma in Community Health Nursing Level 8. This is a one-year full-time course available in Windhoek. The application period is from 1 June to 30 June 2025. For more information, call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. Velvice University, where everyone is an achiever.
Welcome back. We have 8 minutes to the hour of 8 minutes to the hour of six. So overall, I think one thing we are failing to acknowledge is that our economy and the amount of products and services that are produced on whatever scale is heavily reliant on consumption.
Yeah.
Now, consumption is linked to affordability. Affordability leads us to jobs. If you break the chain of affordability, which is by replacing workers with technology, those workers will not be able to afford those products anymore. And therefore, they can't consume. If they can't consume, they can't buy. If no one can buy, you're out of business. So this is a loop that I think, by trying to cut cost to maximize profit to make our shareholders happy, in the very same way that programmers and all IT specialists have basically shot themselves in the foot with this whole IT, with this whole AI development.
Yeah.
It's the very same way that you have multinational corporations are basically shooting themselves in the foot by taking the consumer's ability to afford their products out of the equation. I'm so proud of us. By us, I mean human beings.
I was about to ask now. Is it us Namibians or human beings?
Human beings. Yeah. In a way that we are very, just turn around and shoot ourselves in the foot. Even if the replacement that's being projected, is going to, takes over until we figure out a way to, a way of who is going to consume these products. We are we are going to revert back to the, to the pre-industrial revolution time because, it's going to render, school at any level from kindergarten all the way to tertiary pretty much useless. Mm. And therefore you are now back to the, you're back to savage mode. You now have to more like scavenge for you to eat. And that's Hunger Games.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, Ahmed. You are completely right with that. Because here's the thing now. I think the only people that might have a job are probably, if you're a farm worker, not that I'm looking down on farm workers, but if you're the farm worker and the farmer, I haven't seen any particular robotic fishing vessels. But that won't be far away.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if they can do it for mining, what do you think will happen?
except we are back to square one. For you to keep fishing, someone will have to keep eating. For the person to eat, they will have to afford it. If they can't afford, you have a pile of rotten fish.
Yes. So how do you...
Back to square one.
Back to square one, which probably would be the Dark Ages by then. Everyone's lights would have gone off.
Uh-huh. Because, since everyone that works for the electricity company is being replaced, and, no one can afford electricity anymore, so what's the point of having electricity? That sounds like Windhoek right now. But, the thing... Have you seen the prices? Are you kidding me?
In some cases, Ahmed, I don't know where the next inflation came through, but I suspect it came through in one June. 1 June or that last week of May.
And someone pointed out that, if he or she cannot explain inflation to you, you're in a wrong relationship. But that is actually true. This is 21st century. But at least Google it. Come on. I don't know. Really?
Yeah, but even the Google Explainer, Helmut, I also had to go and throw the Google Explainer in the dustbin just for me to go sit and think back to when I operated really in the supply chain of manufacturing a product.
Mm-hmm.
Then I realized who is responsible for inflation.
Shareholders.
Shareholders,
yep.
The companies that operate, the private sector that operates in the economy, someone somewhere goes like, you know what?
We need more.
We made a profit last year. I think we can do
some
more. We can
make more.
Let's add 10%. And then we communicate that to the other people we sell the product to. And then they go like,
the price
you
is going
clever.
Up.
I also have to increase by 10%. And so it just gets shifted on down the supply chain.
All the way to the consumer.
Yeah. Unless we have a president somewhere that becomes...
Okay, but this is very self-destructive mentality. Like Thanos pointed out, the resources are finite.
No, but you keep referencing Thanos.
Yeah.
Who's fictional. You have to reference Dwight D. Eisenhower, my namesake, and our Austrian painter...
Oh, dear Lord.
Because they
are... Let's stick with Thanos if we are going to go to the Austrian page.
Because they're the only two heads of state
that
literally told their private sectors in their countries there will be a freeze on inflation.
Yeah, so in other words, they just gathered up a bunch of shareholders, CEO, get out of my way. Manager, executive, just get out of here. Where are the shareholders?
Oh, where are the owners and shareholders?
Where are they? Now, you guys... are already making this much money. So, no more. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Moving on.
And if you think about it, in all honesty, Helmut, does the product increase with value? Or is it just some sort of a...
No, it's just sheer greed at this point.
Is it just a thing to say, listen, let's just apply 10% because we feel like we can apply 10%.
Yeah, well, also because I want to... Like, just how much more money? This is all comes down to basically the biggest flaw of mankind. Greed. Because how much money do you want? That's the question. Yeah. Because, you can just keep increasing. And by the way, also to some degree, it's a disadvantage to them because their money would be even more, have a higher value than, it keeps losing value because of what they, because they keep asking for more.
Mm.
I can't believe I understood that. And I can't believe I understand that because she'd have seen me in my accounting class. I didn't pay a lot of attention.
No, accountants help you with understanding how the money flows.
You just have no idea how hot my teacher was because...
Aish,
now, and also you have to understand this is, she has to write on the chalkboard. That means facing the other side. And it was awesome. Moving on. Sorry, I brought up my morning vibe. yeah, and she was blessed. But, the thing is, what's the best example to describe this? Russian roulette.
Yeah.
That we are playing.
No, it's not even roulette. It's someone else is playing the roulette. No one else is playing the roulette.
So we're just participating.
We are just
tagging along.
You know, we're the dodo.
Oh, dear Lord.
When the sailors landed on the island.
Uh-huh.
We were like, we like that dumb bird that goes and looks like, oh, what are these things? Uh-huh. What are these? And then we end up as the food.
Yep.
Over the spit, right?
Like, oh, okay, this is the food, and the guys brought, you know, pigs, and they ended up, you know, eating all the eggs and stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah. We're the dodos.
So, wherever you are sitting, whatever field of study you are doing, when it comes to AI or basically technological advancement, none of us is safe. So that, for me, the whole AI jobs takeover discussion all boils down to two things. One, our government's trying to figure out another source of revenue apart from taxes, because believe me, multinational corporations are not known for paying taxes. Two, I don't think we are going to build technology advanced enough to run each and every single country to run its own, more like home-built AI. Obviously, a bunch of multinationals like Meta and Microsoft, which are already dominating our lives as we speak, they are going to be at the top of the food chain. Now, there is no way these guys are paying tax for you. If they are evading tax from strict markets like the EU and the US, and all of a sudden they will be very good, God loving tax, you know, choir boys type of taxpayers. Ain't no way that's happening. Mm. Now, because of that, AI is going to lead to a lot of people not only losing, obviously a lot of people are going to lose their jobs, and a lot of countries' sources of revenue and subsequent sovereignty is going to be threatened.
Yeah.
Like big time.
Yes, it is.
So how do we prepare for that is actually a question that I just, picked from, from that CEO guy. And then that's a good question that every government should actually ask themselves. But it's 2 minutes into the hour of six. So, okay. Shall we take a break and sign out on the other side?
Yeah.
All right.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. If you just tuned in, you have tuned in two words, more like just right at the end of Home Run with Helmut and Dwight. That was the AI versus all types of jobs, blue and white collar discussion we had today. For me, until tomorrow, same time, same place, here on Eagle FM.
And on my side, dear listeners, stay tuned for your next programming, and obviously, same time, same place again tomorrow, here in your number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.